Propagating truth in a world of lies. You are listening to the John Age Project.
Trust no one. Trust no one. Trust no one.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anomic Age. I am indeed your humble host, John Age, coming to you Friday, September 13th, 2019. It's been a rough ride the last few weeks. I feel that I've been saying that too often, but it just keeps becoming more and more true. As I mentioned a few times, coming at you from Carolina Beach, North Carolina, and if you were in the States and looking at the news at all in the last few weeks, you saw Hurricane Dorian making its way directly to our front door. So that was last week. Last week and the previous week, still trying to get over a sickness that my whole family had, and I'm still the last one standing with this stinking thing, or at least the one that's the worst for the wear as far as the sickness goes. Doing better. I always just get this nagging cough that just persists for seemingly ever. And then randomly you'll just wake up one day and just feel 100%. Not 100% right now, not even close. So I'll do my best. I got my water next to me and a box of Kleenex, which I hope I don't have to use. But we'll definitely be doing our best today. A lot going on. A lot going on in the world. A lot going on in the state of North Carolina. A lot going on in my own life. It's a veritable smorgasbord of insanity, to say the least. If you haven't already done so, please check out AnomicAge.com. Share that link with your friends, family, loved ones, and enemies. We got a new show for you each and every week. This week, it was a close call. It was a really close call to not having a show at all because I was not doing very well. Definitely been under the weather. It was one of those situations I always sort of jokingly say it was a game time decision. And I was driving here today and it was definitely a game time decision. I was sitting there reflecting on the show that I had hoped to do today, which is now the one you're currently seeing. And sort of reflecting on what I always say at the end of the show, you can't do everything, but you can do something. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't have 100% in me, but I can probably pull off an 85 or maybe a 90. Once we get going, the adrenaline starts flowing, we got some water, we got some tissues, maybe a 95. So, you will get my best today, as you do always here in the Anomic Age. I can't thank everyone enough that's been listening to the program, following the show. I just echo the same sentiments. Please share those links, friends, family, loved ones, and enemies. Check it out on any platform that you can. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Brighteon. Like the links, share the links, love the links. It's the only way the show shall grow because they're doing everything they can to keep that... to keep the numbers down. You can also go to paypal.me/AnomicAge and donate directly to the show. As always, you can check out AnomicAge.com. That's the main link, the hub, if you will, that you should definitely be checking out all the time. There's a news feed there. There's the show links. There's the guest links. There's the videos. There's the audios. There's info. There's emails. There's newsletters. There's more. So AnomicAge.com, share it, live it, love it, please, I implore you. That being said, there's no guest this week. It's been a long, long time since there's been no one in the opposite seat here, so to speak, as a guest on the Anomic Age. And I wish that I had more life force in me to actually give the full Monty solo performance that I've kind of been wanting to do, actually. I've had so many guests that I've really been trying to find a way to have one of these solo show performances. And as just luck would have it, or divine providence, I'm very sick still and don't have a guest lined up, so solo show it shall be. Don't worry, there's more guests waiting in the wings. It just became so problematic with the recording and the sickness and the coughing that I just said, hey, let's just bump it to next week and we'll roll the dice on a game time decision of me being in the seat and doing it with the lights and the cameras and the mics and all that. And here I am. John H., at your service in the Anomic Age. So, what shall we talk about first? We've got so much to talk about. Wow, we got the Democrat debates last night from Houston, Texas. And that was absolutely horrible, in case you watched any of it. I didn't watch all of it. I watched the highlight reel, so to speak, if you can call it that. And just a lot of gibbering idiots, pretty much. We saw Joe Biden almost lose his teeth. We saw Beto talk about how he wants to take everyone's guns. Elizabeth Warren doing her thing. Castro throwing some cheap shots here and there. With Biden, I don't even know if you're going to really call those cheap shots. But nonetheless, it was mildly entertaining. It was exactly what you would expect it to be from the Communist Party's debates. Just a lot of poppycock overall. So I wouldn't recommend anyone watching it. If you missed it, thanks, good, glad. If you didn't, it's always good to know your enemy. So, of course, from that perspective, I always say, yeah, know your enemy, watch the Communist debates, but it's kind of just a comedy thing, more or less. That's kind of all I view it as. The Biden stuff, on many levels, just almost gets sad. I don't know what else to say. If you'd have to watch the whole the Biden interactions and the debates to really appreciate what I'm telling you. If you missed it, it was really just kind of pitiful at many points. Just him being completely unable to articulate clear thoughts. The teeth thing, if that's all over social media and the internet, please look into that, if for nothing else, for a small chuckle. But at many points, it really just did become quite sad that they're still pushing him out there. All the other people, just kind of pathetic. Warren, yeah, the usual thing from her. Just sad, sad overall. I have very little voice, I fear, very little voice left, so I won't belabor the points on the debates all that much, because we've got more pressing matters to attend to as it pertains to the great state of North Carolina. If you follow me at all, or listen to me on this program, hopefully, you've probably heard me say the formerly great state of North Carolina many times when discussing the state of North Carolina. It's where I've been born, raised, bred, the whole nine yards. I'm still here. And I say that primarily to be a bit of a spur in the saddle of the peoples of the state. It's not that I despise my state. It's just that I despise the communists that are doing a pretty good job of taking it over. And I loathe the inaction of the people of the state, or at least what I perceive that to be. I don't know. But perhaps I am mistaken, and I hope that I am, because we had the 3rd and the 9th congressional districts up for grabs in a very special election, as most of the country took note of in the past few days, and the people came out. Most of the news is saying it was a narrow margin for, narrow margin, my foot. Greg Murphy, the 3rd congressional district, conservative, or at least he hopes to be, he's a Republican, that doesn't mean much, and then Dan Bishop for the 9th congressional district. Both of them won both of those special elections. So, what that really means is we have two more people that should be conservative in the great state of North Carolina representing us. So, Congratulations to both of those gentlemen. Congratulations to the people of North Carolina. Thank you for turning out and making your voice heard and doing something. I'm proud of you. Keep it up. We can't let these people continue, the communists, that is, to take over our state. We've still got a communist in the governorship there. Hopefully, we will get a lieutenant governor. We got Mr. Mark Robinson, still a candidate in our state for that position. So hopefully the folks will get out and support him. If you missed him, he was on our show about 4 episodes back. I highly recommend you taking a gander at that video and a intent listen to the interview. Great gentleman, and someone that I very much hope will be the next lieutenant governor of the great state of North Carolina. So, congratulations to the aforementioned, and hopefully we'll be congratulating Mark Robinson very soon as well. We can definitely already congratulate Dan and Greg. So let's move on. What we got? We got so much more. This one I got from Mark Dice. Mark Dice's Twitter feed. I believe it's also on his website. But we got Green Day singer Billy Joe Armstrong yelling "Kill Donald Trump" during his performance of American Idiot at the Oakland Coliseum. And this is a fairly recent one, it looks like. Well, I mean, he posted this on 2 days ago. But we got two different perspectives from the video from people in the crowd. Let me see. Well, no, we got 8/5/2017. So it's not a recent incident, apparently, but more of a recent post. What can you say? I replied to this and retweeted it myself, and it's just disheartening, I suppose. It's not surprising because that's just the norm, but it's definitely disheartening. And I don't know how this really became true. I've never really thought it was true, but apparently everyone in the music industry, everyone in alternative, everything, metal or whatever, like the whole floodgates of the mainstream seem to be embracing all things communism. I don't really believe that everyone is, but the mainstream media would have you believe that. And I think most of the people in the industry that want to still draw a check, they still have to follow along with that narrative. It's so disheartening from a band. I don't know. They were sort of, they were part of my adolescence. They weren't the only thing that got me into punk or hardcore. There was a lot of bands way before them. But they were one of those 90s, mid-90s bands that really, I'd say, put in like a third or fourth wave of punk rock. Probably more of a third wave of punk rock emergence in the U.S. I wouldn't really even call them a punk band in its purest sense. More of a pop punk band. But that's neither here nor there. I'm just splitting hairs. That's all irrelevant. What's relevant is it's just pathetic that you see someone that would even come out under the guise of punk and saying, yeah, we believe in freedom and all this stuff, when you don't. You don't believe in freedom. You believe in tyranny. Because the communists are all going to say, oh, Trump this and Trump that. Well, I'm not buying it. You're obviously only speaking to one candidate. You wouldn't have said any of this for the great Barry Sitaro or the Bill Clintons or the like of the opposite side of the aisle in the duopoly that is American politics. So that's where the hypocrisy really lies. It's just pathetic. So, and watching this performance, I watched it a few times here. It's kind of just pathetic, too. I'm not going to get on a tirade in a dark bend and just sort of go at berating people, but I try not to let that be my thing. It just seems kind of sad. I'll leave it there. I'll just drop it right there and just leave it as we move to what we got here. BizPackReview.com. This ought to be good. Mind your own business. Planes set to track bathroom time. This is coming from September 12, 2019. And a move that may appear to some folks as somewhat Orwellian. You think? Airbus has announced its new aircraft will be equipped with technology to track and monitor passengers' behaviors. Oh boy. The Airbus Connected Experience wants to give passengers a digitally aware experience that will keep by keeping tabs on everything from bathroom times to the drinking preferences of its customers. Well, that's what we need in a plane. Sounds great. That doesn't sound Orwellian. Sounds perfectly normal in the anomic age that we live in. Perfectly okay. Here's to that. Let's support bathroom time being monitored in the plane. Perfect. At some point, it's really hard when you're inundated with so much of this, and I feel that it's probably quite helpful that I've been sick for about 2.5 weeks because it's allowed me a little bit of downtime. I still keep up with all this stuff every day, all the time, but I've tried to rest more and kind of unplug a bit more, which is good because the more I delve into this, really the darker and more sardonic I become. And that's not always helpful. A lot of people, that's just not helpful at all. Let's try to move on in a cogent, non-sarcastic fashion from Summit News. Summit.news, excuse me. Summit News is the main site, but the URL is summit.news. From Paul Joseph Watson, new sexual fetish couples getting pregnant and having multiple abortions. My girlfriend, in quotes, enjoys her pregnancies, and she enjoys the abortion. A new sexual fetish has emerged where couples repeatedly get pregnant, then have multiple abortions. Every day, we stay further from God's light. In a Reddit post entitled, Question Regarding Abortion and Breeding Fetish, one user reveals how she has a female friend who has a real powerful fetish for breeding and never used birth control. Good grief. She is with a male partner currently who is just like her, into breeding and then have... it's hard to read, I'm sorry. And then have been practicing their fetish for quite a few abortions, the post reads. At some point, it's just hard to digest this all and not be affected by it. I try to be calm, and you try to be collected when you're reading this sort of material. And this is the first time I've heard this. I've heard this and read this and digested it a few times. I'm just doing it once again live on the program, and it doesn't get any easier when you read this. I don't know how much further down the rabbit hole you have to go to see how fully immersed in nothing short of pure satanic hell on earth. That's the only way you can describe this. I don't know what else you could possibly say. Darkness, depravity. I mean, there's a multitude of adjectives you can throw at it, but it just seems to be, as I've described it before, we're living in a bizarre world, satanic death cult. That's all I can really say. Bizarre world, satanic death cult. That's what this is. That's what our society has degenerated into. Where you have people openly saying they're becoming pregnant. They're bringing the child in. It says here, her preferred date to abort is between 20 and 24 weeks of gestation. Good grief. I'm glancing at the rest of the article while I'm trying to calmly speak about this. And that's really not the way I should be speaking about this. I should be speaking full force. But I fear that my description might be a little too colorful for most folks. But Bizarre World Satanic Death Cult, again, that's what I believe and know that we're living in. And articles like this are the prima facie just rubbing it in your face. We got people saying openly they are intentionally becoming pregnant and intentionally having multiple abortions for the pure sick satisfaction of it? That's what it seems to be, some sort of fetish. Everyone that's hearing this, hopefully everyone that's already heard this, which I'm sure has been millions by now, should be shaken to the core and just utterly disgusted by this. What else could you be? And it should also cause you pause, self-reflection, look around your society. This is our society. This is how far we've fallen. This is it, folks. This is all the stuff I've talked about a multitude of times before. You know, we got Roe versus Wade, you got the pill, you got the quote-unquote sexual revolution, all the hippie drug culture crap from the 60s, late 50s, infused into the harder drugs of the 70s, more watered-down garbage music in that era. Insert garbage politician after garbage politician. We roll into the 90s, somehow make it at least a three-quarters of the way through that decade before things really start to go south, where we got Bush, our CIA buddy, Kennedy assassination connection clown. It just continues to degenerate and degenerate and degenerate and degenerate. And this is it. This is where we're at. People having multiple abortions intentionally as some sort of sick enjoyment. And anyone that has even the slightest bit of knowledge about various other cultures knows that we're treading in the same water. We're going down the same path. The Aztecs, the Greeks, the Romans, every culture that rose to state-level society, great status, we all went down those same paths. So look at those cultures. It all culminated in sacrificing children. It all culminated in sexual immorality. It all culminated in a huge calamity and collapse. So where are we on that timeline? I don't think we're 2 minutes to midnight. I feel like we're a few seconds to midnight. And the vast majority of the public is just watching Rome burn, taking to their fiddle, and beginning to play. That's where I'd say we are with all of this. It's sick. It's really, really sick. Let me just see if I can move on a bit. Coming again from the great state of North Carolina, ICE nearly 500 undocumented immigrants released from North Carolina jails despite detainer. This is coming from WBTV. .com. September 9th, 2019, Charlotte, NC, nearly 500 undocumented immigrants, that's illegal aliens, folks, have been released from jails across the state in the past 10 months despite administrative detainers filed against them by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. WBTV obtained new data compiled by ICE, outlining the figures. The data covers fiscal year 2019, which began in October of 2018 and runs through next month. According to the data, 489 detainers were declined by law enforcement. A detainer is an administrative request from the federal government to local law enforcement agencies to hold someone in jail even after they are eligible for release on their state charge. A detainer is often used by ICE to keep undocumented migrants in jail because removal from the country is a civil action and is not a criminal matter. It goes on. So basically, the feds are requesting that these illegals be held, and the state's just going, forget about it. which is exactly why I've been saying the formerly great state of North Carolina for quite some time. Which parallels another point that I will make again and again and again. Police, civil servants, or as they are so often referred to, law enforcement. If you're not going to enforce the laws of the country and the Constitution, then you should step down. If your paycheck and benefits are more important than the Republic, then you should step down. I don't care if there's a mayor or a governor or some other lowbrow piece of dung holding it over your head and forcing you to do unconstitutional, illegal things. If you can't follow the rules of the country, step down. Step down. You're no better than the illegals if you can't enforce the Constitution, Bill of Rights, laws of the federal government. Should seem obvious, but for some reason, apparently, it's often unclear. Here's some more stuff you will not hear in your Cult of Academia archaeology class. The biblical town of Emmaus, which is linked to Jesus' resurrection and the Ark of the Covenant, may have been found by James Rogers. This is Fox News. It's coming to you there. September 9th also, archaeologists in Israel may have discovered the biblical town of Emmaus. If I'm pronouncing it incorrectly, I'm sorry. Which is linked to Jesus' resurrection and the Ark of the Covenant. Haaretz reports that archaeologists have uncovered the remains of a 2,200-year-old fortification at Kareth Jarim, a hill on the outskirts of Abu Ghosh, a village near Jerusalem. The fortification dates to the Hellenistic period, when ancient Greek influence in the region was strong. Tel Aviv University professor Israel Finkelstein told Haaretz that the walls were repaired during the later period of Roman rule in the 1st century AD. Very interesting stuff. But unfortunately, like I said, stuff you're probably not going to hear in the Cult of Academia. This is another one that you may not hear. This is from CBN News, coming from the 5th, 2019. Israeli archaeologists find rare mosaic, possibly pointing to where Jesus fed the 5,000. Jerusalem, Israel. Israeli archaeologists have discovered an unusually well-preserved mosaic, apparently depicting the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 on the floor of an early Christian church overlooking the Sea of Galilee. Researchers from the University of Haifa exposed the mosaic during excavations on the so-called burnt church at the Hippopos Susista excavation site. Researchers believe the 6th century church was most likely burned down during the Sasanian conquest in the 7th century. The fire actually helped preserve the floor because where the roof burned down, it covered the mosaic floor in a layer of ash, thus protecting it from being damaged by the elements over time. So again, and if you look at this article, it's really neat. It's got some really great photographs of the mosaic, and it looks quite beautiful. But fear not, I'm sure your archaeology class won't cover that either. There'll be plenty of talk of Darwin, and plenty of other holistic and naturalistic lovey-doveys from the Cult of Academia. But pay no attention to that. Just keep on sacrificing your children to the cult. What else would you do, right? Okie dokie. Since my voice is definitely on its way out, I will sort of pump the brakes a little bit and just talk. Why don't we? It's been a while. For me, it seems like it's been quite a while. I said that on the previous show. And then we had the hurricane and all kinds of insanity and calamities here. Thankfully, everything on our home front and for the most part in the state of North Carolina, we were in pretty good shape. Nothing at least disastrous in our immediate region. I know we had a lot of tornadoes and things like that. I know the folks in the Bahamas were really devastated, as well as some of the states to the south of us. And the Bahamas is actually about to get rocked once again with another hurricane in the Atlantic. It's if it's not on their door right about now, it will be by tomorrow. So thoughts and prayers for all those folks that are about to be really inundated again with another storm. Hopefully it won't follow the same trajectory and come knocking on our door again. But if it does, we'll be ready. Some things I was going to really talk about and sort of connect dots back to the very beginning of today's show. What really struck me and got me off my duff, because I was a good 80% sold on not doing the show today. I was really not feeling well. I had to move guests around because of the sickness and everything else. And in the drive down, I was really preparing and thinking, and it struck me. I always end that show, every show, with you can't do everything, but you can do something. And I don't want people to think that's solely my thoughts. It actually comes from Edward Everett Hale, Hale. I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And I will not let what I cannot do interfere with what I can do. So I heard that quote some time ago, years ago, and it always stuck with me. And I basically kind of distilled it down and simplified it a bit. And it became, you can't do everything, but you can do something. That's kind of where the impetus for that line in the show and what I often say, where that came from. So that's where that came from, in case you were wondering. You can't do everything, but you can do something. And I thought just that I mentioned a little bit earlier. I thought, man, I'm not 100%. I'm probably not even 95. But I can probably do my part. I can do my bit. I can do my little tiny thing and try to help make a difference and try to hopefully steer someone else in the right direction or the right path. Bring someone to some new information, make someone think about something in a slightly different perspective, put a different lens on some information. So, like I said, I got my water, I got the lights and the cameras on, and here I am doing my part. And I encourage everyone else to do that as well. I oftentimes get a little bit too critical. I realize that. I won't even call it pessimistic, I just call it real. But, depending on your own lens, you might find that quite negative and downtrodden. And it's hard. After you listen to all the stuff that I listen to, and read all the stuff, and watch all the stuff, like so many others do as well, it's really hard to put a smiley, happy face and perspective on the world we live in, because I really do come back to that point. I believe we are in a satanic death cult. I didn't name this broadcast or the website, however, I didn't name it the Anomic Age for funs and giggles. I come back to that point as well. Anomic meaning just lawless, moralless, compassless, directionlessness. That's what all that means. That's a social, individual characteristic that that old Durkheim was describing so many years back. And it fits quite appropriately to the world we live in. It fit it many years ago when I began this endeavor and this project and the website and so forth, the John H. Project, it fit then, it fits now. We are definitely in a much better place as far as overall leadership than we were during the Barisataro regime. But I don't want people to get stuck and just think, we got a great leader, so we're fine. Let's just sit back, relax, kick our feet up, and what I just like to call fool's gold. People get stuck in fool's gold. You got a whole briefcase full of pyrite, and you think you got some gold bars. It's just pyrite. So I'm not trying to be disparaging towards Trump or anyone else. I'm just saying, don't get complacent. Stay eternally vigilant. You can't fall asleep at the wheel. You can do something. You can do your little bit of part. You can do this. You can do that. You can do the other. And I bring this point up because I often do get a little dark, a little bit negative when I go out about and mingle with the peoples and the public. It's very, very, very easy for me to go really dark and really just standoffish and just isolationist. And that's not the good way to be. That's not how you're supposed to be. I'm working on it. But I try to look at everyone. I'm going to try to refocus and try to look at everyone and say, okay, just as no one's walked a mile in my shoes, I haven't walked a mile in theirs. And they're coming at this whole thing from different perspectives and different angles and different knowledge bases. So, you do have to start with yourself at some point in the game. I always feel that you have to mend your own fences way before you mend everyone else's. And I'm still doing that as well. I think everyone should do that. So before you start to conquer the world, take care of yourself. Take care of your family, your house, your loved ones, and then expand out. And no one's going to have it all figured out. So don't, anyone that's telling you they got it all figured out is full of bunk. So, try to do your own part. Get your own little id, yourself, taken care of. Try best as you can. Many people are in different spots, different scenarios for sure. So it's the small stuff. Everything we've learned about on the show, everything you've learned about on other shows and other knowledge-based points or what have you. We talked with a great lady a few weeks ago that was covering the fluoride epidemic that's in the tap water. The fluoride's in the tap water for a reason. It's not to whiten your bleeping teeth. It's not to keep your teeth free from cavities or any other of that baloney. It's a control mechanism. It dumbs you down. The studies, which have now escaped the proverbial wires, are off again. And you might hear them regurgitated a few months or a few years down the road. But the studies that were once again prima facie years ago are back again saying, yeah, it dumbs you down. It's a poison. It's a sterilant. It makes you dumber. It makes you docile, complacent. And if there's one thing people absolutely don't need any more of, it's complacency. So, like I said, that small little part, cut out the fluoride. If you can't afford a big crazy filter on your house, I got you. So you start buying some water at the store. Get the reverse osmosis stuff. Work on up, get a filter on your house. Make sure you're washing with it and bathing with it and everything else. Okay? The chlorine in there is not any good either. You don't drink the pool water for a reason. The same chlorine's in your drinking water, just at variable amounts. So, start with something you can tackle. Yourself. You can't do everything, but you can do something. You can't control everyone, but you can certainly control yourself. Start with the water. Move into the food. You know the GMO is toxic cancer for you. If you haven't seen the inundation of Roundup commercials saying you too could sign onto this class action lawsuit, because Roundup is what they have known it has been for decades. It grows cancer on mammals. So, start with the water, move to the food, work out a little bit, exercise, maybe get up a little earlier, maybe stay up a little later, whatever works for you do your part, do something. Make that difference for yourself. And try to work on some other people around you. Try not to do what I do. Try not to be an isolationist. You can't survive on your own in the wilderness with your backpack and your rifle, okay? It's glamorized on a lot of shows, but it's not really all that possible. You need someone. You need someone to watch your six. You need someone to help out. You need someone to help you if you get a cavity, if you're sick. There's so many scenarios that we hear in the completely sanitized Western society have no idea about. We take for granted so much. You could just get a toothache and die. That thing will go septic in no time and you will be dead in the ditch. Just from a tooth problem. Same goes with anything. You could get a splinter in your foot. That can go septic and you can be dead as a doornail in no time. And this is under normal conditions. So imagine how fun it's going to be with the lights out, crazy roaming bands of morons on the street trying to kill you, no food, no water, you're sleeping wherever you can, and you stump your toe. You're not going to be going back to your clean, pristine bathroom and putting peroxide ointment and a Band-Aid and a bandage perhaps on it. It's going to be a different ballgame if things go how so many have predicted that they will. And I'm not so sure they're wrong. I think they're probably very spot on. I think we just may have moved the goalpost a little bit with the election of Donald Trump. To me, that doesn't mean for a second that things in game might not end the same way. I think we've just moved the goalpost a bit. So, I think that's about all for today, kiddies. Keep in mind, once again, you can't do everything, but you can do something. Your own little small part, your own little tiny part, and then move it into something larger and bigger and better and so forth and so on. Until next time, please be safe out there. Best prayers to those folks affected by Dorian and those who are about to experience the upcoming hurricane. I think it's due to the Bahamas anytime now. So please, thoughts and prayers with those folks. Do what you can. And we will see you next time on the Anomic Age. Be safe out there.
Thank you for listening to the Anomic Age, a John Age project. For past shows, further info, and to comment, go to AnomicAge.com. That's AnomicAge.com. Till next time, thank you for listening to the Anomic Age. I'm gonna go get some more.